Good morning. Good to be here in the house of the Lord again this morning. Like it was mentioned already, we're gathered here on a special day. It's not only special because it's Sunday, but it's also a day set aside in recognition to the fathers. This is the third time that I was on to preach a Father's Day message, but this is only the first time it actually ever happened. So I was fortunate enough to get off the other 2 years that was ordained. So, in thinking about a Father's Day message, for Mother's Day, it's easy to stand here and say nice things about mothers and your wives, and you come to the fathers, you don't want to be just standing up here saying nice things because you're maybe sounding a little conceited, but neither do you want to just beat up on the fathers itself. But we as men do need a lot of coaching, a lot of guidance. The Bible gives us a lot that we can look at and work on as men. This morning I do plan to talk to the fathers, but it's a bit that can be applied to all of you here this morning. Looking around here at the crowd here today, I do want to say thank you for the visitors. It's a few families missing here. You can see by the board, it's mostly back up to a regular attendance. So thank you for joining us on this. But looking at the crowd there, there's a wide range of ages and backgrounds. Everyone here has a past. I don't know what all those pasts may be. What all you have faced. But in those past, I'm sure there's some good things, a lot of good memories. I'm sure there's some things that may some hurts and some hard things in the past. Thinking back to when you all were young. It felt that we had the whole world ahead of us. And we would recognize people that, we would look at them and we would idolize. And we would make them, our hero in our mind. We would tell ourselves that we're going to be like, let's just say Sam or you could put any name in there. We might say we want to be like him because he has it all together. Maybe he has the best car. And when you get one, you're going to get a car like Sam. And you could put a whole list in there. And the list goes on and on. What you would idolize about him. But then there's others that we didn't necessarily care for. And while they may have been nice, maybe they just weren't as popular with other people, so you just did not idolize them. But as you got older, some of those, fickle hero idolization thoughts kind of fade away. But in a lot of cases, I expect that most of you here look up to someone as a role model in your life. It is good to have a role model, but we need to be careful. Speaking to the men here, and you don't have to be don't have to be a certain age or even be married to think about this. But I challenge you, who is your role model? A role model is someone that you will look up to. It's someone that you base your life choices on. It's someone that you will look at what they're doing and you'll be like, I want that. And you do all you can do to get there or to do what they're doing. Having a role model in your life is a healthy thing. It doesn't matter what side of the house you are or what age you may be, but I challenge you. Look at your hero or your role model and think carefully. Is that where you want to go? People are fickle, changeable, and move about. And you always need to be careful because humans are very human. And if you're not careful, you will follow your hero straight into a ditch that you personally never thought you would go. This morning, as we want to celebrate and to thank God for our fathers here. And yes, they are human and made a lot of mistakes, but so have we. Our fathers have played a vital role in where we are today. They led the best that they knew how to or how they could. And to you, fathers here today, you are called to a very high calling. Fatherhood is not only providing for your family, it's not all about just getting the to-do list done, but it's to lead, guide, it's to influence the next generation to Christ. The world tries to dilute the role of the father, but God has given you a perfect standard, the perfect role model to look up to, and that is Christ himself. This morning's title is, Be Ye Like Unto Christ. First John 2:6, he that saith, he abideth him himself also to walk even as he walked. Walk as he has walked. To the dads here, if you claim the name of Jesus and claim to follow Christ, then we are called to live as he did. If we live as Christ, that is the greatest gift that we can give our children here today. One could say, I can't live as Christ because we don't have his power. We can't heal. We can't do the miracles that he did. We don't have the supernatural power, so how can we be like Christ? My first point is, be like Christ in character. Philippians 2:5, I'm going to read the one verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is one of humility, obedience, and purity. The one thing that sticks out about Christ to me is the challenge. It's a challenge to me also. It is his humility. When Christ was in front of Pilate and being tried, Pilate asked, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered in three simple, humble words, Thou sayest it. If I would have been in that place, And if I would have known that I was about to be convicted to death, I'm afraid that I would have been pulling out all the proofs that I was who I was. And I'm afraid that I would have been listing off all the good things that I have done to attempt to prove my innocence. But yet Jesus said, "Thou sayest it." A father with humility goes a long way at pointing his children in the right direction. When a father lacks humility, our pride will get in our way when relating to that child that makes a mistake. If we have pride more than humility, we will be more worried on how our family looks to others than the relation within the home itself. The subject of the character of Christ is very huge. And we could probably be on it all morning and all the next week. And it's so much more than just humility, but it encompasses the whole fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so much more. The second point, be like Christ in leadership. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. Our Christ came to this earth to lead his flock and to give them a future so that they can live. Christ's leadership was a servant leadership. He did not demand honor. We look at the powerful people around the world and they get extremely bent out of shape if someone doesn't show them respect. They feel threatened when others don't honor them. They feel threatened by that because the people put them in their position, in that position that they hold. And if the people stop honoring them, they know that they will lose their position. You are called not by the people, but by God to lead out in your homes. You don't have to worry with what people think of you if you're doing what God calls you to do. Fathers, your leadership is not proven on how loudly you speak, but on how faithful you serve. Your children are watching. Your wife is depending upon you. The church is strengthened by you. True authority flows from a Christ-like life. While Christ did not demand honor in his life on this earth, in his leadership, or demand that the people follow him, but he was able to draw the multitudes to follow him. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." What a standard! Christ died for his bride. Are we willing to die to our pride, our desires, to our selfishness, for the sakes of our home? Pride and selfishness has broken or have kept so many relationships from growing, not only in the home, but in the church, in school, at work. Leadership is a life of sacrifice and service, and not about who's on top. Point number three, be like Christ in compassion. I'm going to read a few verses from Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they have done and what they have taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into the desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And he departed into the desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing and knew him and ran afoot thither out of the cities and went out. Out went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country around about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. If we're going to be like Christ in showing compassion, we need to be aware of our surroundings. Maybe I'm the only one here that can get caught up in our own thinking, and we might be meditating on something, and we can miss that one of our children needs our attention. We see in this passage here that Jesus was going to go to a secluded place to rest and to take a break from the demanding responsibility of taking care of the people. Jesus and his disciples were about to have a break to rest and have what they could call, you might call, me time. Some alone time. Time devoted just for them. It says that they haven't even time to eat. But Jesus saw the multitude and had compassion on them. If Jesus would have been caught up in his own desires and his own feelings, he wouldn't have even noticed the people, and much less notice that they had to desire his teachings. In order for us to show compassion as a leader of the home, we need to put our own personal desires aside and be aware of the others around us. The leader in the home has a big responsibility in providing for the family and tending to the needs of the family we get so busy taking care of all the pressing things that you can become what you call a fireman. I'm not sure if you ever heard that term, but you run around taking care of the next biggest thing in your home. But it's the small little places where you show compassion that leaves the lasting impression. It's not the big accomplishments. But in our mind, we think it's the big things that leave the lasting accomplishments. Impressions. Looking back at the scripture, not only did Jesus stay to teach the people, but once the day was well spent and was getting late, he still stayed to feed the people. He did not tell his disciples that the people can deal with what their own hunger and send them away. Jesus knew that he only had a limited time on this earth so he set aside his human desires and taught and fed the people. We fathers also only have limited time to teach our children. We need to have compassion by laying aside whatever we need to do so that we can have time to prepare our children for the real world that is out there. To be a compassionate father, you must give. And then you need to give some more. And when you are tired of giving, you must keep on giving. My fourth point is, be like Christ in faithfulness. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Be like Christ in faithfulness. The word faithfulness in this point is not meaning just to do what's right. But we're looking at it as inconsistency. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Christ has never and will never change. His promises stand firm. His love is consistent. We know that he will hear us when we cry out to him. And looking through the scriptures, every time that God says that he will do something, he does it without fail. He's unwavering. Christ's consistency brings stability, and it brings dependence and trust. We know that if we do not follow God, we'll have consequences. If we know that we follow him, we will reap reward with our families. Can they predict what your response will be? If your child asks a friend to go somewhere that is questionable, does your child know ahead of time where you stand? Or do you say no one day and yes the next and no the next? There is times that it is okay to change how you stand on things based off of circumstances. But are you consistent in your beliefs? Just because you may create that perfect home life, we cannot force your child to make good choices. They all have to make that choice for themselves. But the more faithful in our consistency, it produces a more healthy environment for them to more easily thrive and grow spiritually. That verse 9 there. It says, be not carried about in divers and strange doctrines. This world is pounding us with strange doctrines. Do we know what we believe? Do we know what we stand for? There's an ever-changing spiritual belief systems that are thrown at us. Years ago, but it still is in effect, but years ago when the evolution came out. Then it's the flat earth theory and conspiracy. May it's alternative medicine. There is many good things out there. But be careful. Then you could say non-traditional parenting. In our years of foster care, we were required to take many hours of training in relating to needy children. And there was a lot of non-traditional parenting that was good in certain circumstances, but we need to be careful in that all. Do we know where we stand as a parent? Be faithful in your word. Be faithful in your attendance. Be faithful in discipline, in prayer, and in worship. A faithful father reflects the faithfulness of God and gives his children a glimpse of their heavenly Father. My last point here is be like Christ in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big word and a hard word. It's something hard for us to do. But to be like Christ, we need to be like Christ in forgiveness. Luke 23, verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We see our Lord here just got done getting falsely accused and got led to Calvary for crucifixion for something he did not do and hung on the cross to die. And while he hung there, he calmly said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How powerful those words! What a testimony he left as others watched on. How high he has set the bar for us. He was just crucified for no reason, good reason, but yet he forgives them, even though they have not asked to be forgiven. They did not apologize, nor even realize that they needed forgiveness. His love that he showed toward them was imaginable. What do we as men do if we're falsely accused? Do we forgive even though they do not ask to be forgiven? Your children will disappoint you. And they will sin. Your wife may speak sharply to you. and you will be hurt. But our Christ and Redeemer hung on the cross and forgave the ones that hurt him while they stood there looking at him in his pain with not a bit of sorrow or shame in their hearts. But yet, when we are wronged or our feelings got hurt, we struggle to forgive. We may say, if they come, they ask forgiveness, yes, I will forgive. But our Lord forgave before the ones wronged him knew they needed forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye like one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you condone sin, but it means to release the bitterness. When we forgive, we open the door for reconciliation in our home. Let mercy be louder than wrath. Are you leaving a Christ-like legacy? Ephesians 5:1-2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So what does it mean to be a father? It means to be a picture of Christ in your home. Not perfect, but Christ-like. Not flawless, but faithful. Your children remember your example far more than our words. Your sons need to see how to be a man. Your daughters need to see how a man treats a woman. Your wife needs to see Jesus in you. And your Savior calls you to walk as he has walked. To the fathers here today, walk with Christ daily. Let your word dwell in you richly. And be strong in meekness, bold in righteousness, and tender in love. Be ye like unto Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.